listening to the Fancer Wrestling Show here at FOW Live on the FOW Radio Network on Podbean. My name is Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. Meek and Eric are who knows where.
Mika has been even harder to get in touch with than normal these last few weeks. Deep undercover on some assignment somewhere, and apparently Eric went to all-you-can-eat pasta and ate himself into a food coma, so we may not hear from him for a couple days either.
Yeah. Well, lots. We have lots to catch up on.
Always, yeah, always.
We do this to ourselves.
Because we're kind of going, we're very good. We're going very intermittent these days. We used to be pretty good about every week, every other week. Now it's not quite so frequent. So when we do, we got events on top of events to talk about. But that's good. Never run out of content, right?
Yeah. Let's just start with I was gonna say the beginning, but who knows what the beginning is. Hell in a Cell.
Hell in right? the
no,
Cell.
Hell in a Cell. Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules.
Yes, it was Extreme Rules. Well, Extreme Rules for now, as the rumor that they will be getting rid of some of the premium live events in 2023. And rumor is that some of the gimmicked ones will be the ones on the chopping block. So we don't know if Extreme Rules will be back there or in its October slot. So we got to enjoy it all while it's here.
Yeah. Rumor is we've already lost day one.
Yeah. Rumor is that was canceled. Yeah. Don't know if there'll be another event in its place or not. That was supposed to be one here in Atlanta. And apparently the rumor is that it's canceled. That's why tickets have yet to go on sale or anything. As there's no plans to have to host that event anymore.
Yeah. Extreme Rules kicked off with what I would like to call the best match of the night, the Brawling Brutes defeating Imperium in an old, good old-fashioned Donnybrook match.
Which I don't really, know what that means. Apparently it's just a street fight, just a brawl. You guys just go in there and wreck each other. No tags, no disqualifications. You just beat the crap out of each other till one team can't fight anymore or something.
I guess. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Matt Griffin, the man, the legend.
AKA Evil Ink Blot.
I wanted to be at the show last weekend, man, but I got sick. Unfortunately, couldn't make it. But I heard you had great back-to-back shows.
I was very happy with them. I was very happy. Yeah, we had some good professional wrestling hijinks going on. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that you're also on the call with Miss Action herself, Rebecca Griffin.
first time caller here.
Ask her about anything wrestling related to see what she says.
Oh, goodness. We were just getting started thinking about all the stuff we hadn't talked about for a month or so.
And actually, we like to ask the tough questions here in the Fans of Wrestling podcast. And the very first question on the docket is, what is a Donnybrook match? English is not my first language, but
a Donnybrook came about back in the it's either in the 50s or the 60s when Donnie Walker from the Amarillo territory got into it with Brooke Hatfield in over in Waco, and they had a massive, so much blood and barbed wire. It was legendary in Texas. You probably don't remember it. And they just, to shorten it, they just called it the Donnybrook. And a real famous thing, though. You should look that up, though, Patrick.
Well, apparently WWE had one, and neither Donnie nor Brooke was involved recently. So that's why we were curious about what exactly it meant. We were trying to disseminate the rules or potential lack thereof involved in such a contest. As it was the WWE opening match at Extreme Rules, the Brawlin' Brutes versus Imperium. In a Donnybrook match. I couldn't name
a single wrestler who's in either of those groups. Wait, is Imperium the Walter group?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Walter's in it. I got one of them.
Yeah. They've changed their names a couple times. Yeah. Used to
he's
be
Gunther now.
Yeah, he's Gunther. Former Fabian Aichner is now something else, and
Ludwig Kaiser.
Ludwig Kaiser is the other guy.
Oh.
Eichner's the Vitti or Vici or whatever his last name is.
Yeah, whatever.
There you go. Vinny Vinici. Yeah. And then the other group is Sheamus.
Who's your favorite member of Imperium, Rebecca?
Bob.
Rebecca likes Bob in Imperium.
That's pretty good. He's a pretty good one. There's a Butch in the Brawling Brutes, used to the former Pete Dunne, now known as Butch.
Okay, that's the Pete Dunne English.
And
lad.
It's Sheamus. Yeah, they're Peaky Blinders basically. Sheamus and Butch and some guy who drops guys on their head apparently.
Who's that?
I can't remember his name, but he's the one who put Big E in the hospital.
Ridgeway or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one who gave the belly to belly to Big E that broke his neck.
Oof.
And he's, you know, still on pay-per-view. And that was not the first time. Apparently he messed Gargano up pretty bad while he was still in NXT with the same move.
Was it as bad as Athena versus Jody Threat that got everybody in a tizzy yesterday?
No. It's not that big a deal. People just get upset about stuff. The girl Jody Threat slipped up a little bit, and Athena kind of went a little ham on her. But like you said, it's nothing we haven't seen in wrestling a thousand times over.
So I got about 2 minutes, but just to talk about that, I only saw the GIFs, but I saw people commenting about that match, and I was like, okay, I don't get it, because I watched so much, you know, 1990s era All Japan Women. And I thought I don't get it. What did I miss? And that's the case when they have a lot of these. Because notice when the clip goes out and it's like, oh, this was a shoot, brother. It's always it always seems to be women. It's never but the men they're everyone's concerned trolling over.
Yeah, it's of course not. No, the women got to be protected, bro. They're fragile creatures. Okay, it's our job as men on the internet to take care of them and such.
Could you imagine having that type of concern over Aja Kong? Because I could
not. I mean, nobody takes that much concern over her today. I mean, she just wrestled. Right. She still wrestles. She wrestled last week in that. She was in that tag match on the other side of across from Max the Impaler.
Because she is tough as hell and kicks the shit out of everybody and nobody questions it, but like you have a 10-second AEW clip that looked, I mean, it looked tight and fine to me.
She roughed the girl up a little bit because the girl kind of slipped on the spot. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all it was. But I think it's so used because the American audience got used to, you know,
the
cat fights and all this stuff of the divas in WWE for so many years. That's the generation that's now teenagers in their early 20s. So that's what they grew up watching. Women who didn't really know how to do anything. So when these women actually get a little tough and a little physical, it's shocking to them.
That's actually the exact reason. You have a whole generation of people who are used to, and you know, they used to seeing a different style of women's wrestling. And it's like, if you were to watch, I know Eric Stevens tweeted today, if you were to have watched Dream Slam 1, you'd have had a heart attack. And that was not quite, but almost 30 years ago. And so it's, And so when they do something
that's pretty much it.
Hey, yeah. We gotta go. We just got home.
All right. Oh well, you know, sorry we started so late. Damn. We'll have to get you both back soon for another time.
Yeah, we should. We should. Sorry, we were out for the Hawks game. Scouting out State Farm Arena. Take care, guys.
All right. Adios.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate the visit.
Have a Love great you guys.
So Donnybrook.
All right. So we're still on Donnybrook, and then we talked about Athena roughing up Jody Threat on Dark or whatever the shows this week.
I think it was that Tuesday Dynamite.
Oh yeah, I forgot Dynamite was on Tuesday this week, so that's why that clip was on Tuesdays. Yeah, but apparently Donnybrook was a Texas thing, as he said. He fabricated there on the spot about a guy named Donnie and a guy named Brooke. Pretty sure it's just a street fight with silly name, Queensberry rules, all those kind of things, you know, we used to do back in the day just to sound different so we can say it's the first ever on WWE pay-per-view premium live events. First time ever, because we just created the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Karrion Kross defeated Drew McIntyre in a strap match. I guess Scarlett interfered, sprayed some stuff on Drew. Karrion won. Bianca Belair defeated Bayley in a ladder match to retain the Raw Women's Championship. Finn Balor defeated Edge in an I Quit match. Of course, all of Judgment Day beating up Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
And your main event.
So hopefully we get a singles match where Beth returns to the ring and fights Rhea Ripley. That's what we want. That's what that's building towards.
Well, yeah, and in a fight pit match,
or even possibly a War Games where both ladies are involved. That would be more than enough because you get the few minute showdown between them and the place goes ballistic.
Maybe. We shall see. Matt Riddle defeats Seth Rollins in your main event in a fight pitch match. Of course, they just want to get this over with because at the end, we get a big payoff of all these clues that we've been getting over and over and over again as Bray Wyatt makes his return to the WWE.
You know, I'm a little disappointed in WWE for constantly just ripping off All Elite Wrestling. You know, having the main event of your pay-per-view premium live event not actually be a match and just have somebody's quote-unquote surprise debut. I mean, that's AEW's gimmick, okay? And WWE's just stealing it, okay? WWE just so wants to be AEW so bad, man. They're just stealing all their shit. Sick of it. We're at war here, folks. Pick a side.
I mean, they picked it. So
there's a lot. So yes, we see that he's back, and everybody was very excited about that. We saw all of his other little characters, you know, hidden around the arena, and then he comes back with a new fancy mask and takes the mask off to actually show, you know, hey, I'm Bray Wyatt again, or you know, the Fiend is done kind of thing. But apparently there's continued of all these rumors, and apparently there's more clues that have been dropping in various places that all the different characters or whatever are going to be part of a stable. One of the Wyatt rumored names. Yeah, Wyatt Six being the name of the stable. And, you know, we've had several rumors about who will be under those masks. I've heard that it would be you know, some are saying, oh, it's, you know, people returning or people coming back in. Others are saying that he's, you know, playing mind games with people who are already on the roster to kind of get them in. Some are saying it'll be, you know, a handful of NXT call-ups, basically people who he's, you know, need his guidance. I don't know if they're going to, you know, whether they're going to wrestle in the gimmick characters or they're just going to debut and kind of take off and be like, hey, here's who I am and wrestle that way. You know, but there's still all these speculation and rumors about other people possibly coming in, you know, to be in his group. Some of, you know, some may be current free agents, such as members of the Righteous, the former ROH stable, Vincent and Dutch are apparently being touted as possibly coming in because they're, you know, they were doing the Righteous, which is similar, you know, it's a similar type cult gimmick. You know, where Vincent was the leader. They were more, a little more, less hillbilly, more 70s, a little more Manson family, kind of, the Righteous was. And then you have, you know, they've recently trademarked some new names, that everybody's speculating will somehow be used. One of them was supposed to be Uncle Howdy or something. So everybody was like, oh, well, who, you know, who's going to be this Uncle Howdy guy? But apparently the name of his new mask is Uncle Howdy. So not really sure, but I think that's some of the fun of it for a lot of people is to find, to try and, you know, dig up these clues and try to keep them guessing about what's happening. I just really want to know, you know, like storyline wise, what's he doing? Why is he back? You know, is he coming back to get the championship again? Is he coming back because he has unfinished business with, you know, somebody? I mean, is he coming back for Randy Orton? I mean, Randy Orton set him on fire. Okay. To me, I don't think that's something I would just let go pretty easily. You know,
sure,
you have a couple matches, maybe. Yeah. Randy's injured right now, so he's not really there either. But to me, that would be, you know, like that would be his, one of his big things. I mean, he got set on fire and then he was kind of hanging out as Crispy Critter Fiend for a little while. And then he kind of just, you know, then he kind of went away when he got released. So that to me is more important than, you know, finding all the clues in the stables. That's, you know, what is this going to lead to wrestling wise? Okay. The sports entertainment, the theatrics are one thing, but you know, where's the match? Where's the story apart from him just coming in?
Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't quite get Bray Wyatt. I mean, we definitely got Wyndham Rotunda on Friday night. It seemed, you know, we got the person behind the character to come in.
Yeah, really, it was it was that quote unquote shoot style promo, brother.
But
I'm going to tell you how it really is, brother.
But it turned into a quick disappearing act, and then you know. So who knows? Maybe they gave him a the opportunity to speak from his heart. But then they're like, okay, now you're gone, and now Bray will come back. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be a slow burn. There's no reason to hurry anything up, right?
I mean, as long as the fans stay engaged, yeah. As long as fans are interested and engaged, I mean, you can keep going at the pace you're going as long as you're kind of still giving them a little bit more and a little bit more and right. That kind of thing, you know?
And I think that they will, and I think that they can do that. So, like anything else, we're going to have to wait and see. But I think... obviously, I mean, I've never been a fan of Bray Wyatt, the wrestler, but his characters have been entertaining for the most part. So let's see what this new incarnation of Bray Wyatt brings us. It's fresh. It's, you know, it's going to be different. And sure, it'll be... We'll see if it brings along other, you know, other people. And if it gives other people an opportunity, why not, right? I mean, many people love the Wyatt family for many reasons. So let's see if the cult of Bray can you know, last a little longer. I think it will give the opportunity for wrestlers to, you know, to be seen. So, yeah, why not? But time will tell what, if anything. But it keeps getting people talking about it. So we're talking about it, and everybody will keep talking about it. So, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it's just how it's going to be. But yeah, so
Now I can't hear you.
And that's because I didn't say anything.
Okay, now I can
hear
you.
It was too sweet of a reunion, as AJ Styles brought his brothers back, the Good Brothers. As the OC is now back in the WWE, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson are now in WWE. They're back on the, you know, on the contract.
So we hear. But I have all, I mean, there's one tiny hang up. Karl Anderson is technically still the New Japan Never Open Weight Champion. He also has an advertised title defense against Hikuleo on November 5th, which is the same exact day as the Saudi event where the OC is supposed to be fighting Judgment Day. And yes.
Well, he released a video this morning or this afternoon.
Yeah, of course he did. Yeah,
regarding
of
this, which New Japan Pro Wrestling has since retweeted. That the New Japan did not book him through the proper channel.
Through apparently you have to book him through Luke. Apparently Doc Gallows handles his booking. But exactly. Here's the thing, though. Okay, New Japan, under their guidelines, they don't have this 30-day no defense rule or anything. Their rule is if we advertise you for a championship match, okay? We put out and say, hey, this is happening on this date. Tickets are now selling. If you don't appear for any number of reasons, they will strip you, okay? They stripped Juice Robinson for that reason when he, you know, had supposedly had a bout with appendicitis and was unable to fly to Japan because of that for his defense. They stripped him. And subsequently, Will Ospreay is now the United States champion, as he was supposed to defend against Ospreay. Previously, with also the same, the U.S. champion, or the U.S. championship, John Moxley one time was stripped of that championship because he was not able to attend. So the person that he was supposed to defend it against, defended against another top challenger, previous former champion. Those kind of things have been done in the last few years. So I'm guessing that that's pretty much what's going to happen. They're just going to strip Carl. Hikuleo will still get a championship match, but they'll put him against, you know, somebody who is a top challenger for that belt or possibly the former champion Tanahashi. And we would get Tanahashi versus Hikuleo for that event. That's just how they've done things historically, especially when it comes to the Never in the U.S. championships. They're a little more readily to strip you, whereas when Ospreay, you know, left the country as champion, he didn't technically have a scheduled defense at the time, so that's why they did not strip him of the World Heavyweight belt, and they just made the interim champion who would defend the belt until Ospreay would come back. But since it was advertised, I'm guessing Carl gets stripped. I heard rumors at first when they first showed up on Monday that, you know, they the Good Brothers were not signed exclusively yet with WWE because they were supposed to work until, or at least Carl was supposed to work until Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know if that meant that they would be in World Tag League. I would doubt it. Just because if you're working with WWE, I don't imagine they would just want you away. You know, you just get back and then you got to go leave for 4 or 5 weeks. I don't see them being okay with that. Maybe a couple events here and there, maybe. But I mean, no matter what he says, I mean, Juice came out and said the same thing. Hey, I'm not going to be there. Like, you know, you can call somebody else the champion, but I got the belt in my hand. I'm not going to Japan. Like, they did that with Ospreay. And then, you know, once Juice was back on a tour, like, they made him hand the belt over, and then they gave it to Ospreay. Ospreay was the champion for a few weeks without the belt. So I'm thinking that's the way it goes, since, you know, WWE, he probably wants to go with WWE to Saudi Arabia, even though one of Carl Anderson's deleted tweets shortly after they left WWE the last time said he would never say never, but he's saying never. They'll never work for WWE again unless he needs a second pool at his house. And he mentioned something about the Saudi shows. He vaguely mentioned something about the Saudi shows being part of the reason why they were not wanting to come back. Here we fast forward a couple of years through a pandemic. The boys are back, and they're going right to Saudi Arabia. So Carl probably needs to decide he wanted that second pool in his house after all.
You know, he's a big time now.
He's bright lights, Carl Anderson. Yeah, is his new thing now. Apparently, the machine gun is no more. His bright lights.
Hey, exactly, the man's on the contract. You know,
I mean, he's getting paid. I guess ultimately, that's what matters, right?
At the end of the day,
it's a business. Yeah, who's going to pay you the most money and where?
No. So, yeah. The OC back, I mean, they had a decent first run a few years back. How do you like this return?
So here's my thing. Since the last time that they left WWE, you know, they bounced around. You know, they were an Impact for a while. Held the belts there. Bounced around to a couple places and stuff. The ring work's definitely going downhill the last few years. Okay, it definitely feels like they're kind of phoning it in. Okay, even Carl's most recent never open weight championship match against Tanahashi, a lot of people felt like he was kind of slugging around, like he was not going as hard as he could or should have been going. In a title match against the Ace of the Universe. Now, don't know if that's age. Don't know if that's ego. Don't know if it's just, you know, something changed since the last time they left WWE. And honestly, I was a little surprised that they came back because of that. If you look over their last stuff for the last few years, they have not been wrestling matches the caliber that they were doing when they were in WWE, at least for part of their run. So, I don't know how long they're going to stay. I mean, we've heard they're contracted. I don't know for how long. I don't know what kind of contract it is, if there's any.
I can imagine it's too sweet.
I mean, I would imagine the paydays are sweet, yeah. But we don't. I mean, that would. Yeah, I don't know them. I guess we'll have to wait and see. You know. Once, if maybe they were kind of trying not to bust themselves up and hurt themselves, hoping they would get signed back to WWE again. So if, you know, now they're back at WWE, let's see if they crank it up or if they still kind of keep slugging.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, I guess most people thought they might be headed to AEW, you know, as you know, they were on the contract briefly with Impact.
Apparently.
And then they worked with them and then went back and forth between them. But I wonder if also their return to WWE, what played a part in that return might have been the infamous AEW scuffle between, you know, the Elite and CM Punk. Because you gotta think about it. You know, they were part of, you know, friends with the Elite. You know, and so it's really for them. Did they really want to deal with that kind of stuff? Know. You know?
Yeah, because that's true, since they're kind of friends with, you know, they've had friendships with both sides. Yes, they're friends with the elite, but, you know, it was kind of, you know, Doc spent his time on the main roster with CM Punk at first. Yeah, so it could be, it could be anything, I guess. I mean, I guess we'll have to see. I mean, it might just be that, you know, maybe they were hoping that the Bucks were going to help them get a deal, and now the Bucks are in a little bit of hot water, so they kind of, you know, that deal kind of fell through. Maybe there wasn't a deal to bring them in, you know, there was not. Maybe they kind of gauged interest when they put them on TV, and the AEW fans were kind of like, eh. So, you know, so the management kind of went, well, if, you know, fans aren't into it, then we're not going to pay them what they're asking, because they're no doubt, you know, they got pretty high opinions of themselves. They're probably asking a pretty high price. If AEW doesn't feel that the fans give a shit either way, then, you know, spend that money on somebody else. Maybe WWE at this point was the only contract they were being offered.
Yeah. So, who knows what's going to happen with these guys? Who knows whatever led them to... Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Your thing just looked like you were talking, but I didn't hear you. So, yeah. But maybe that was just sound.
Well, you're kind of bleeping in and out, so I don't know.
I personally like it. And, you know, I would like to see what comes off their match on the 5th. And from there, see, maybe they will get that coveted War Games match.
I mean, it's possible. Yeah. You know, they could be in on that team if they do the War Games. It's possible that it could be AJ and, you know, an Edge and the Good Brothers against Judgment Day. But, you know, I mean, we also have a Bloodline, so very possible that you could have, you know, a group putting themselves together to face the Bloodline between now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so we get what? So, excuse me. The crown jewel, right? So is what we get the next premium live event, for the main roster, on November the 5th. That will be headlined Roman Reigns and Logan Paul. Bobby Lashley will face Brock Lesnar, and the OC faces the Judgment Day. I don't think any other matches have been announced yet. But before we get there. This Saturday, we get an NXT Premium live event. The Halloween Havoc.
Yes, the Halloween Havoc is back again. Hopefully with fancy set and maybe inflatable orange pumpkin, maybe some styrofoam gravestones out in the entranceway. We can only hope.
Yeah. So Apollo Crews versus Grayson Waller in a Spin the Wheel Make a Deal. Julius Creed versus Damon Kemp in an ambulance match.
Okay.
Roxanne versus Cora Jade and Spin the Wheel Make a Deal match, which is going to be Weapons Wild match. Carmelo Hayes versus Oro Mensa versus Wes Lee versus Von Wagner versus Nathan Frazer in a ladder match for the NXT North American title. Mandy Rose will be defending the NXT Women's Championship against Alba Fire. And in your main event, Braun Breaker will be defending the NXT Championship against Ilja Dragunov and JD McDonagh in the triple threat match.
I honestly haven't been keeping up with NXT very much because half of those names do not bring any faces in my head. Yeah.
Well, you know Braun.
Of course, yeah. I know Ilja. I remember him. He was the one who defeated Walter for the UK championship. The other guy couldn't even place him now.
JD McDonagh, he was, oh my God, I can't remember his name. He was Finn Balor's student. They changed his name.
I thought that was Dragunov.
It was Jordan Devlin.
Oh, he's Devlin, the guy who called himself Ace or whatever. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, JD McDonagh is not. He's not JD.
The JD McDonagh. Is Jordan Devlin. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Alba Fire. She was a former.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I know. Yeah. I know that name. It's fucking terrible.
Let's see. Obviously, Carmelo Hayes. You know Carmelo Hayes. You know.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but I know who he is. Yeah,
Wesley. You know Wesley.
Was the Rascals? Wesley, yeah, Wesley. It was Rascals. Yeah.
Von Wagner. He's I think he's Beverly Brothers.
I mean, I recognize the name. Oh, he's okay. If I remember correctly. No, I definitely don't. Okay, cool, I guess.
Yeah. Nathan Frazer, you know him. He used to be Ben Carter. He was here in the U.S., worked for Action, did the SCI.
No, I don't know him. So he was Ben Carter on the Indies, okay? Who did Ben Buchanan become? What's his name in NXT now? Which one is Ben Buchanan?
This Oro Mensa guy.
I said, which one was Ben Buchanan? What is his NXT name?
So you broke up there. What was that?
Ben Buchanan. Bull Buchanan's kid. What's his NXT name? You're breaking up too. What's going on here? I'm sitting in the same place, so I don't know what's going on with the reception here, friend.
Danny, I think I lost you.
I'm still floating here, man. I just can't hear you sometimes, most of the time. We're going back and forth in and out.
Hello.
I mean, I didn't hear you until you said the word hello, so I don't know if you said anything else. Don't know what you're able to hear of me either. Hello. Hello. I'm still here. Pretty sure, I think. Hasn't kicked me out yet. Hello, are we even recording still?
Yes, we are. There you go. I think I lost you for a half minute there.
Ah, okay. So I was asking about Ben Buchanan and what is his NXT name? Well, Buchanan's Ben Buchanan. Kid. I know he got signed.
Yeah, he's in the tag team. He's what is his name? They changed his name.
Yeah, everybody gets a new name. Usually kind of stupid.
Brooks Jensen.
Okay.
Is his name.
Brooks Jensen. Okay.
Yeah, him and Josh Briggs got a...
Okay.
Yeah, we're tag team.
Briggs. Irmer Briggs, yeah.
Okay. But they're not on the show.
Okay, so
they don't get to spin the wheel and make a deal.
Yeah. So you hear my part about Ben Carter, who Nathan Frazier?
Yeah, I just don't remember who Ben Carter was though.
Yeah. It's all right. I have no clue who Oro Mensa is.
Okay. It's all right.
According to Wikipedia, he was the former UK tag team champion. He went by the name Oliver Sauter.
Okay. No, that definitely doesn't ring a bell either.
Yeah. He wrestled under the name Mr. Exotic. He should have tagged with Matt the Mouth back in the day when he was... Mr. Delicious.
Yeah. Could have called himself deliciously exotic or something like that. You just take each of their names and make the name of your tag team somehow.
Yeah, pretty much. But hey, it's not too late. Julius Creed, one of the Creed brothers.
Yeah, I know the Creed brothers from Diamond Mind, and that's why he's fighting fighting the guy who apparently put Roddy in the wheelchair or whatever, right? That's the whole gimmick.
Yeah.
That's why it's an ambulance match. You sent one of ours to the hospital, we sent one of yours to the morgue kind of thing.
Right, so Damon Kemp is the brother of the collegiate wrestler that got drafted into Raw. Can't remember his name now. But yeah, whatever.
He was drafted straight to Raw, though.
Yeah, his brother was.
Okay. But he never wrestled before.
Yeah, because he was a big champion.
NCAA champion or whatever.
Yeah, Stevenson, something Stevenson.
Oh, is he Gable Stevenson or whatever?
Yeah, Gable Stevenson. So Damon Kemp is his
brother. Wouldn't they just call him David Stevenson or something and let it be known that they're fucking brothers? That doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't they just call the guy Ben Buchanan? Why wouldn't they just call the guy fucking Braun Steiner? Okay? Doesn't make sense.
Why wouldn't they call Solo Uso?
Sikio? Well, they're cousins. They might not have the last name of Uso. No,
they're brothers. He's younger brother.
Oh, he's the younger brother of him. Yeah, why wouldn't they just call him Solo Uso? Yeah, that doesn't make sense either.
Especially
you announce that they're related.
That he is
the same. I know that they're related. They're like, he's his brother now. That's why they're on the team. And that's why, you know, all that. I don't know. Doesn't make sense, man. Just let people have their names. You ain't got to change everything to something goofy and weird.
I mean, shoot, Sami Zayn is more of an Uso than
this. Pretty much.
So that's Halloween Havoc happening this Saturday live on WWE Network.
WWE Network in every country but the United States. Yeah, every country outside the United States. Yeah. No, Canada's got the network.
No, they. I thought they were still going through the proper.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Nobody pays attention to Canada. They're kind of terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Canadians, right? Who needs them?
Seriously, just American posers is all they are, okay?
How do you like Ocho's ROH run?
I mean, I don't, but that's the point. You're not supposed to. Okay. You know, it's very much in the vein of when Vince McMahon, you know, became WWE ECW champion, you know, took over the brand. It was kind of a rib to everybody. It was kind of to feed his ego. You know, I'm the man that killed ECW. Now I'm the champion of ECW. You know, like, I feel it's a little bit of that. You know, it's supposed to make people get mad and want, you know, somebody who is a former ROH wrestler or somebody who believes in and respects the lineage of ROH to come and take the belt from him. The problem is the matches aren't there. Okay. And they weren't there with Vince either. But Vince didn't really defend the belt. You know, cause he's like, I'm the boss. I ain't gotta fight you kind of thing, you know, walking around calling people the N word and stuff, thinking he was funny. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, Dalton Castle stepped up this week to try and win it back. I haven't seen anything on the interwebs, but I'm assuming he was not successful. No, so that's pretty much the whole gimmick. The problem really is that ROH right now, it's just an extra belt. Okay. They have no program. They have, you know, quote unquote pay-per-views and stuff, you know, like the next one, apparently, they're going to do Final Battle again. I just saw they announced the date and the location. So for some reason it's in Arlington, Texas this year, on December 10th. Okay. Final Battle. Cool. But like, they don't have a program dedicated specifically to ROH at this time. So basically, guys just carry around the ROH belts. They're just extra hardware on all Elite shows. You know, that's pretty much all they are right now. I mean, Dalton's one-third of the ROH six-man champions, but here he's going for the world championship, you know, the ROH world championship, because he doesn't really have a stationed place to defend the world six-man tag belts. You know, the Kingdom just showed back up. You know, presumably looking to get the ROH Tag Team Championships off the belts of FTR. FTR is kind of being spread pretty thin right now, though. They have the IWGP Heavyweight Championships. They have the AAA belts, I'm pretty sure. I don't think they lost them at Triple Mania. I don't think they were at Triple Mania, were they?
Who?
FTR.
No.
They were not even at Triple Mania.
No, there was a number one contendership. There was a number one contendership match,
which, gotcha. Yeah,
Dragon Lee and Dristico or whatever, gotcha, his name is.
Yeah, Dralistico. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, though. It's, you know, our FTR is spread pretty thin. I mean, they're forcing these companies to do big processionals to determine the next person to fight them whenever the hell they show up. Like, I'm pretty sure they're not going to be part of World Tag League for New Japan. That's an entire month that, you know, Tony Khan probably doesn't want to push them away to Japan for. So no. That they're going to do this whole World Tag League just to see possibly who gets to fight FTR at Wrestle Kingdom. If FTR is going to be able to make Wrestle Kingdom or not.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I mean, I guess the only way you're going to get him is you pretty much have to show up on Dynamite, and that's what the Kingdom's hoping to do, and then get those ROH belts again. But yet again, does that guarantee that the Kingdom gets signed and they get deals and they're going to be part of featured or whatever or anything? I don't know. Could just be a one-off just to, you know, try to fight this relevancy thing, or it could be a build towards Final Battle. It's, yeah. I don't like the fact that they're just toting around the ROH hardware and kind of defending it haphazardly when there's not really, I mean, it's without its own regular show or something, it's kind of meaningless. It's kind of like before Tony bought it, and some of the guys would Gresham was going around defending this belt at indie events and stuff. Like, it was kind of cool, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like, what exactly are you defending, you know? What's the meaning and the worth that title has right now?
Right. Well, who knows? I mean, apparently in an interview, Tony Khan has said that his goal was to have a ROH TV show in 2023. Obviously, we'll see what that means. I mean, obviously, they could create a YouTube channel for ROH to have, you know, ROH Dark. What or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got wrestlers on the contract.
Yeah.
We'll see what all that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what any of that means. But, yeah. All right. Some sad news. You know, of course, we talked about last time we spoke, the with Antonio Inoki passing away. We did talk about that, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we did. Oh, well, maybe we did not talk about the loss of Tuck.
Maybe it hadn't happened yet. No, we chatted, but not on podcast, I don't think.
No, not on podcast. So, yes.
Yeah.
Antonio Inoki dying this year, and apparently, you know, he was going to become an unofficial chairman of New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're going to make a big announcement. These are now they're doing Wrestle Kingdom in his honor. But man, talk about a legend of a sport.
Who
did so much for pro wrestling.
And mixed martial arts. I mean, essentially mixed martial arts founded out of what he was doing with UWFI and the kind of work shoot fights and stuff. That's kind of where some of the roots of mixed martial arts came from. Big fight with Muhammad Ali apparently was some people consider the first mixed martial arts fight, as these guys were specialists in different fighting styles, and they were going to fight under a rule where both guys could utilize their fighting styles. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, from Ricky Dozen came, you know, Giant Baba, Antonio Inoki, and they went off and they formed their individual, you know, companies. And, you know, that's pretty much it. And, you know, so much history came from, you know, the people that he trained, the people that worked with him, the places that he's been and worked. And, you know, he was like a huge cultural star in Japan, you know, basically the likes of, you know, at one time, you know, the height of Hulk Hogan's popularity. But this guy held that same level of popularity for multiple decades, not just for roughly 10 years or so, you know. So it was, yeah, it's a huge loss. I mean, apparently, you know, he held a much fairly private life, I guess, that the reason he only did a video appearance earlier this year at the anniversary event for New Japan, the 50th anniversary, was because he'd been confined to a wheelchair. And, you know, he didn't want to, come and put himself in front of the people in front of a wheelchair, not be able to actually kind of stand up and get himself into the ring or something. So, it's kind of sad that it came during, you know, the 50th anniversary celebration of the company that he founded. But, you know, that just kind of somehow adds some kind of extra majesty to the 50th anniversary as well. Especially going into this Wrestle Kingdom, which is now, pretty much also being held in his memory. So in some respects, it will be a celebration of New Japan, the 50 years that it's held, but also a celebration of the person who is responsible for making New Japan in the first place and having it be so successful and be around to where it can be around for over 50 years. I mean, that's a huge thing in itself, in the grand scheme of professional wrestling, to have a wrestling company for 50 years running continuously. You know, it's always, you know, New Japan's had its ups and downs like anything else. I mean, they're here and there's, you know, and it's because of what Inoki started. And, you know, the generation of wrestlers that were trained by him are, you know, are still there in New Japan as some of the top stars now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. The man did so much, not only in the wrestling ring, but also, you know, in Japanese politics.
Yeah, yeah, he went to politics for a while, yeah.
I mean, he basically took his stardom and tried to make a difference in his country. He'll be a name never be forgotten, and absolutely legend.
I'm curious to see
the wrestling community.
Now, is Inoki a member of the WWF Hall of Fame at this point? The WWE Hall of Fame? Is he a member? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah, okay, but they've still never officially recognized his championship win. That's something that I remember people saying was debated after he passed. It's like, hey, you know, he's passed now. Like, there's no more political strife tied to this. Like, you could just go ahead and say he was the champion. So I don't know if that will ever be, but I was going to say, if he wasn't in the Hall of Fame, I could definitely see it this year or next.
He went in back in 2010, I believe.
Oh, okay. So he's been in there quite some time then. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You couldn't do a international win without putting Inoki in there. Absolutely. So let's keep jumping around. Hangman Page got concussed.
Yeah.
Did you see a big
promo between him and, you know, where he's starting to, you know, try to get the championship back and all this stuff. I did not see the clothesline that did it specifically, but yeah, no, it's apparently a pretty serious concussion, and I mean, at this point, any concussion is pretty serious because there's still so much kind of unknown about concussions. You know what about? I mean, it really just takes time. There's no way to help care prevent for them. You know, like, it really just has to sit and wait on your body's healing. The only treatment is to kind of literally sit on your butt and not do anything and let your brain heal. So that's kind of the thing. I mean, Adam Cole's suffering apparently a bad one right now too. You know, there's rumors that Cole's could possibly be, you know, career ending if it doesn't, you know, heal properly or heal like it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Pages could be the same way. We don't know. I mean, Rhea Ripley was just recently cleared after suffering concussion issues for several months, and that's why she hadn't been wrestling. She had just been kind of managing the boys. But you really hadn't been getting too physical, especially not in any matches. So it's a very tricky thing still. But I mean, it's, you know, they never come at a good time, but definitely not the best time for Paige right now either. As he's, you know, coming off this, you know, hot promo where he was talking about, and he's looking into a, you know, big program, you know, trying to get his championship back, etc., etc. Fans were starting to get behind him on that route. Hopefully he's able to take the proper time that he needs to, and he doesn't try to return too soon and hurt himself even worse.
Yeah. Well, we know that next up for Jon Moxley, he's got MJF on November 19th at Full Gear, as MJF will be cashing in his chip.
Ah, yes, cashing in the chips. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people seem to want MJF for champion. To me, I'm kind of indifferent to him. You know, his matches are okay. He talks a lot. You know, that's kind of it.
So as we're wondering what's going to happen outside of suspensions for, you know, the backstage brawl, one of the first official casualties come about as Ace Steel has been let go by AEW.
Yeah, I just saw that today, actually. I honestly didn't realize that he had, or had forgotten, I guess, that he was working backstage when news first broke out and somebody said he was back there in a fight. I'm like, was he a guest for Punk? Like, did Punk just invite him to come for the show and then they got into a fight? I had forgotten that Ace was working there. But yeah, definitely being lowest man on the totem pole. I definitely am surprised that they kept him in there as with the company as long as they had. You know, because it was kind of him, you know, he kind of threw himself in the fight when he saw his friend was potentially outnumbered. So that's kind of, he's definitely the low guy on the totem pole. He's going to take the brunt of it, be the first firing. You know, that's just the way it is. And in sports and business and entertainment and just about anything, you know, he provides the least amount of value to the company. So he's easy to let go and make people think that they're doing something proactive on the situation.
Yeah. Orange Cassidy defeats Pac to win the Mid-Atlantic Championship. That is what they call it.
Yeah.
Mid-Atlantic Championship.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they're in Florida. To me, that's kind of Atlantic, you know, Southern Atlantic, not Mid-Atlantic, but whatever. They can call it whatever they want. It's their fake belt. You know? Whatever. I guess it keeps Cassidy from having a challenge for the main belt again. I like Cassidy all right. I mean, the fans definitely like him, which is the important thing. And, you know, he and Pac beat the tar out of each other in that match. You know, like you'd expect. I mean, I really like Pac as the bastard version of Pac. I think is probably the best version of Pac that we've seen. He's just, you know, looks outstanding. Is just going in there angry and mean, and he's just looking so good. So I'm kind of, you know, a little sad that his reign's over already. But you know. It's 2022, yeah. Baby. Most people can't hold belts for too long, you know? You gotta flip flop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, before we go, we gotta end with this. Villano 4 becomes the last member of Los Villanos, the legendary masked luchador family, to unmask as he lost a mask versus mask match against Pentagon Jr. Reveals his name and age and a face that many were clamoring put the mask back on after he took it off.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The last of the original five Villanos who is now unmasked. I believe Villano 5 was the last one to be unmasked. Maybe like, I would say the late 2010s. I think it was before COVID, but yeah. The last one, Villano 4 unmasked. So, of course, Villano 4 and Villano 5 were the ones that were notably known here in the WCW back in the late 90s as they, you know, were jobbers. Part of the Luchador invasion.
They're pretty much the lowest tier of that Luchador totem pole there. You know, so that's I mean, it was a very, from what I've seen, the match was extremely, extremely violent. You know, as these mask versus mask main event type matches are, you know. The mask gets ripped apart off your head several times in several places. Then they just bleed and bleed and bleed. And you could see, once he was unmasked, you could see the horrific scars he had on his forehead from years and years of bloody battles. Mm-hmm. In Lucha Libre, Pentagon, you know, Pentagon Jr., Pentagon Dark, Penta Obscura, Penta El Zero M, MA, you know, whatever he's calling himself, depending on where he's at. is, you know, was the winner and had some amazing photos. Amazing photos of him holding the mask and just looking bloody and like something from another world himself. So it was just, I mean, it great, great visuals at the end. So it's just, it's, I mean, it's a hell of a thing, and it's made for a hell of a moment, you know. I mean, Pentagon's pretty much a god tier level at, you know, at this point in Lucha Libre culture, and I think this kind of helps solidify that.
Yeah. Now, also that obviously this being Triple Mania 30, they had three chapters of Triple Mania. This chapter, we've also had Marvel themed luchadors in the shows, and now it's been announced Disney Plus is gonna air a Marvel-themed lucha show with AAA. Okay. I haven't been announced if it's going to be in the U.S. or Mexico only, but AAA, Disney, Marvel, working together, not a bad gig there for AAA.
No, not at all. I mean, that's huge money for them. Huge money for them, you know, if they can get some of that Disney Marvel money. Yeah, absolutely. More power to them if they can do it and they can make that money.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and there's a lot of Marvel money to be had that Disney's just dishing out.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see what happens then. Interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks. Obviously, lots more shows happening. WWE, NXT, AEW, New Japan, all roads lead to Wrestle Kingdom for New Japan. The first two rows already sold out. And they're saying that something's coming for international travelers.
Soon, yeah, I saw that today too.
So we'll find out more information as we're looking to make the trip to Tokyo, Japan. And for that, and yeah, and then lots more of that. I mean, before we know it, the end of the year will be here. The road to WrestleMania will begin. And, you know, Tony Khan will get just crazier in 2023 because, you know, that's just what he does because he's TK.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You know. We'll be back to cover all sooner than later. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for putting up with some of our technical difficulties here as we start late and think we'll be a little choppy. Thanks to Matt Mouth and Mrs. Matt Mouth for making a very brief appearance at the beginning of the show. You all make sure you listen every episode we've had. Putting out all the latest episodes in the next week or so. FOW Radio. On Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and everywhere else you can listen to podcasts, Spotify, can't forget about that one. Check us out on the Twitter at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F. and Danger. Mika is on Twitter at the Mika Villas. Is it that Mika Villas? I think it's just Mika Villas. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.